Hey there, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here, and today I'm going to be stepping into the hornet's nest and talking about the difference between overlanding and car camping. These kind of pop up on Facebook groups and things like that all the time, so I've seen it so much now that I just wanted to kind of dive into it, and I also wanted to give you guys a place in the comments to kind of duke it out, right? Tell everybody what you think, why you think that car camping and overlanding are the same thing, different things. What's the difference, right? So if you want to hear more on the difference between car camping versus overlanding, stay tuned. Alright guys, so as I mentioned in the intro, today I'm talking about the difference between car camping and overlanding. Nowadays, in all the Facebook groups, Overlanding USA, the big, you know, overlanding Facebook groups, there are arguments nonstop where people say, I went on an overlanding trip last week, and then someone else jumps in and says, that's just car camping. When I was a kid, it was called car camping. And it's become this whole almost meme of a cliche that just keeps coming up in these groups. So I did want to touch on a little bit. Done a little bit of research on it, and of course, I think we all know this, right? But it just becomes easier to just jump on the bandwagon and be like, yeah, it's just car camping. Oh, you're not an overlander. You didn't cross the border. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. So again, I wanted to kind of dive into that just because it's kind of a fun topic. It's a little bit of a hot topic right now. So again, I wanted to jump into that a little bit. But I definitely do want to hear from you guys down in the comments below. Post up your thoughts. What do you think? Do you think they are different things? What are your thoughts on this topic? So let's start with kind of what is the difference, right? So as much as everybody says car camping and overlanding are the same thing, they're really not, right? So when I was a kid, when I was younger, my parents would pack up the car, right? Or my dad had a little Ford Ranger at the time, pack up the truck with some camping gear and things like that. And you would pick a state park and you would make a reservation for a campsite, right? And you would go there and you would basically like camp out of your truck. You would take all your gear out, you'd set up a tent, you would car camp, right? But again, it was at like a state park with established bathrooms or at least pit toilets. It was someplace that we made a reservation. The journey there was just paved roads, right? Like you weren't so much going to explore or to find something. You were going to get to a destination. So that, in my opinion, is kind of like one thing that makes car camping different than overlanding, right? Because on the other side, in overlanding, what you're basically doing is you may go out with kind of a rough idea of where you want to go and maybe where you want to end up. But a lot of the times you don't know for sure where it's going to be, and the goal is more just to explore and enjoy that trip, right? It's not to get on a highway and drive a whole bunch. It's to get off the highway, get onto some dirt roads, and go out and explore and try and find a campsite that is just beautiful, breathtaking, whatever you can find, right, that is new and interesting, and you are exploring. And in that case, too, with the overlanding vehicle, again, because you're not in a state park, you're not on, like, paved roads, you're not on possibly gravel roads and things like that, you may face more challenges, like rocky terrain or, you know, places where you may need to air down because it's washboard for a long time. So there is some capability requirements for it. Now, again, I've said many times, you don't have to have a giant, you know, lifted full-size truck on 44s or anything like that to go overlanding, right? Even my old truck was a little bit overkill with 35s and a 4-inch lift. So I don't want to say that to go overlanding, you have to have XYZ minimum vehicle, because you could pretty much do it in anything. You just have to make sure that your vehicle can tackle the terrain that you plan to take. But again, the point of overlanding is more to be relying on your vehicle, to have a really capable vehicle that will allow you to get to places that maybe other people can't. And then to be a little bit more reliant on it where you're not connected to, you know, services like bathrooms, running water, that kind of thing. You know, maybe a camp store, those kind of things, right? It's actually funny. I was talking to a young lady that I work with. I was volunteering for my kids swimming, and I mentioned something about the truck and that I was working on a modification for the truck to go camping. And she goes, oh, you're a camper. I'm a camper too. And I said, oh, cool. I said, what do you like? I said, when you say camper, do you mean like a 30-foot trailer, or do you mean like a 30-foot driven camper, or what do you mean? And she's like, no, like state parks and stuff. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well, then we're similar, but there is a little bit of a difference. Like, I despise state parks and I don't want to go there and be with a bunch of people in like a consolidated area. I want to go out and get away from people and explore and end up somewhere far, far away. And she was like, oh no, I don't want that. I want the bathrooms, right? So it was just funny to hear that sort of distinction. As soon as I started to describe overlanding, she was at the beginning like, oh, we're campers. And then by the end, she was like, oh, we're totally different, right? So there is a difference, right? There is a difference. Now, that's not to say you can't do both, right? Like, you can be a car camper and go to a state park. I did it a few years ago with my kids. Just drove over to a state park for a night. It was like around Halloween. They had some cool activities. My kid enjoyed it, but we were camping still, but we were in a state park. So again, there's no stigma with either one, right? We don't need to make fun of overlanders because they're quote unquote car campers. We don't need to make fun of people that go to state parks. Like I told this young lady, I was like, it's totally fine. I was like, I can see why people are attracted to the bathrooms and stuff. I said, but I'm pushed away by, you know, the people, the loud noises, the dogs, the generators, that kind of thing. That's the stuff I try to get away from. Right. So then part two here is the vehicle, right? So again, you could literally go car camping in a, you know, Pontiac Vibe, right? You don't need four-wheel drive. You don't need you're driving on roads and then into a paved or maybe maximum gravel roads in a state park to get to the campground. And then everything's established. Oftentimes there's electricity, there are toilets, right? So you can literally do that in anything. You could do it in a lowered luxury sedan if you wanted to. Whereas with overlanding, because exploration is the focus, like I'm thinking about a trip that I have coming up in a couple weeks, and I have a new suspension lift that I just got in, and I'm like, I need to get that on because if we come up against any obstacles, I'm low to the ground right now in my bone stock Nissan Frontier. So I need to get a little bit of clearance and get some bigger tires on there so that I can do more challenging obstacles and be more prepared for things that I may come across that may be a little bit more challenging than your typical gravel road. So as far as vehicle goes, it is important to select the right type of vehicle. Again, if you're more of a car camper, you may need something that's like a bigger SUV, but that gets better gas mileage, like a Honda Pilot or something like that. That may be perfect for you. Or a minivan may be perfect for, you know, car camping. Whereas for overlanding, you may need something with four-wheel drive or at least all-wheel drive, like a Subaru. Something with a little bit of clearance is important. Recovery points are important, right? Storage and being able to accessorize the vehicle and put gear into it and onto it is important as well. So that's the vehicle selection does make a difference kind of depending on whether you're more of a car camper or whether you are more of an overlander, right? So then thirdly, let's talk about another big difference between camping or car camping and overlanding. And that is planning the journey, right? So I'll give you some examples. Again, when I was a younger kid and my parents wanted to go camping, it was just on these dates, we're leaving, we have reservations for these campsites and we're gonna go there and we're gonna be there all weekend. We're gonna park the car, we're gonna set everything up, and then we're gonna hike the trails and we're just gonna be in the state park, right? Like that, the destination was the destination, right? That is kind of what car camping is. You pick a location or a series of locations. You could even call it touring if you want, where you're maybe going from one state park or national park to the next to the next. You're camping every night, right? It's very similar in a lot of ways. But again, you're not really exploring. You're going from one destination to another destination to another destination, with the destination being the focus of your trip. Now with overlanding, right? There's a ton of planning that goes into it because you're going to be dispersed camping. So, you know, trail conditions are going to make a big impact on how successful you're going to be or how challenging the trip that you're taking is going to be. Sunrise and sunset could impact your trip. When do you have to be to camp by? When do you have to, you know, you have to think about all these things. On top of that too, then you want to plan it and you want to be fairly specific. And because of like time restrictions with say work or family or things like that, you do have to think through like how long you have and how long it may take you and what the worst case scenario is with an overlanding trip. Good example, you know, we're planning for this Canadian Trans Taiga trip right now, and it's 2 weeks long and we're going about 4,200 miles and we're literally going way up to the very northernmost road that you can take, the farthest away from civilization in North America on this Trans Taiga road. But so, I mean, we are having to think about so many things like what time does the sun go down at night? And since we're so far north, what changes? Is there snow? Do we have to worry about winter and weather like that because of how far north we are, even though it's in July? So, I mean, all that stuff has to be planned for, but at the same time, we're not really picking a destination. We're almost kind of picking more of like a goal area, right? So that's a big difference, is instead of saying night one, we will be here and we will camp and we will get there early and we will set up and we will stay there. We're saying, you know, we would like to cover 200 miles this day. And then we want to find a campsite around this place, but we're going to explore and we're going to try and find something unique and different and, you know, remote that's away from people. And that's kind of our focus. And then during that day, we're stopping periodically. We're taking pictures and videos. We're, you know, seeing the sights. We're seeing these amazing things that, you know, these amazing taiga, forests and things like that that we don't have here, that we don't get to see every day. So we're more enjoying the whole trip, and like there will be challenges. We may get flat tires. You know, I've heard that on that road, if a semi-truck is coming towards you, it throws a rock at you, it can shatter your windshield, you can break out the grill of your truck. Like there's a lot of challenges that come with something like that, but different challenges every time. Sometimes it may be the terrain, sometimes it may be the distance, sometimes it may be fuel and making sure that you have enough and kind of planning effectively. But so that all those challenges that come up make that trip really special and really fun and unique. And it's those challenges and maybe the slowdowns and not hitting your goal one night or two nights or every night, right, that kind of make it more enjoyable and make it different from car camping. So again, those are my thoughts on the difference between car camping and overlanding, but what are your thoughts? I want to hear from you guys down in the comments. So drop a comment down below, let me know what you think, let me know your opinion on it. I'd love to hear from you. If you enjoyed the video or the podcast, if you're listening on the podcast, drop a like on the video on YouTube, or if you're on the podcast, go and leave a 5-star review. It helps a ton. If you're not already subscribed on YouTube, click that subscribe button down below. Click the button to be notified when new videos drop. I do a couple videos every week. So if you're looking for overlanding gear reviews, general do-it-yourself modifications, general newbie type overlanding stuff, you'll find a ton of that here. So I'd love to have you as a subscriber. Also in the description below are links to all my other social channels. So wherever you want to hang out, I'd love to have you. Also, there's a link to my website where I've got patches. Like this. Or like that. Or like that. Don't burn your wiener. Or like this. Or like this. This one's actually very apropos for this topic that we're talking about. It says, I hate people, so I camp. But so yeah, if you're listening on the podcast, I've got, you know, all kinds of patches and stickers that are funny overlanding themed things. You know, don't burn your wiener with a hot dog behind it. Weekend warrior with a jerry can behind it. I hate people, so I camp. And then bad word people, let's go overlanding, right? So I've got a ton of those. Just wanted to bring that up. If you guys are interested, click through that link down there and pick some up on the website. And then last but not least, there are links to Patreon and also the Newbie Overlanders group on Facebook. The Patreon's awesome. We do like a once a month call and kind of hang out on Zoom. And also we have a Discord. So we chat 24/7 about gear and builds that we're doing and things like that. And it's really cool. And then the Newbie Overlanders group is totally free to join on Facebook. So if you're on Facebook and you kind of want to get away from those bigger groups where people are bullies, come hang out on Newbie Overlanders. We'd love to have you there. But again, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening if you're on the podcast. And we will see you next week.